postpartum body odor. It is a totally natural phenomenon because your body chemistry changes after giving birth. And so sometimes that means that what worked before is no longer effective. But I am excited to say that now there is a solution for that stubborn odor. The Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant is a completely natural deodorant made by a postpartum mom who went through it herself. And it works by eliminating and preventing bacterial body odor without covering up your skin's comforting smell to your baby while giving you 12 hours of odor control. And let me tell you, it actually works. Here at the house, we've all been trying it and loving it. Now, before you think, ew, you're sharing a deodorant with your husband and daughter, let me explain that this full body deodorant comes in a convenient pump applicator that lets you apply it anywhere on your body with no bacteria traveling on the deodorant, so no ew involved. We also love that the Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant has a delightful natural scent of USDA certified organic extracts that smell like a pink sugar cookie with lemon frosting. I thought this would be a little strange, but it's actually amazing. Also, the Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant is free from artificial fragrances and any kind of senoestrogens or herbs that can interfere with breastfeeding. Find your Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant at postpartumdeodorant.com. That's postpartumdeodorant.com and use the code BIRTHFUL for 20% off through the month of May. Get your Sugar Sugar Postpartum Deodorant now at postpartumdeodorant.com and start smelling more like yourself again. Now that we're in full spring mode, I am constantly reaching for my Jenny Kane Crop Cashmere Cocoon Cardigan because I find it is the perfect level of warm and cozy for when there's still a light chill in the air, but I don't want a coat. And like so many of Jenny Kane's bestsellers, this 100% cashmere cardigan is just so versatile. So I can wear it on its own over dresses, short sleeves, long sleeves, with slacks or jeans. It works with all of it, which is a really good thing because I just never want to take it off. And of course, this cardigan has the impeccable and luxurious level of craftsmanship that you can expect from all of Jenny Kane's products. Jenny Kane is a California brand through and through, and so think minimalist and effortless, but totally refined. Because they are a sponsor of the podcast, for a limited time, our listeners can get 15% off their first order while supporting our show. Go to jennykane.com and use the code BIRTHFUL15 to get 15% off. Now, I know that I go on and on about Jenny Kane sweaters because I'm frankly obsessed, but they also have everything you could want to finish out your look. They have dresses, shoes, and even a stunning collection of home essentials. Curate a wardrobe that never goes out of style at jennykane.com. As a Birthful listener, get 15% off your first order when you use the code BIRTHFUL15 at checkout. That's 15% off your first order at jennykane.com, promo code BIRTHFUL15. Let getting dressed be one less thing to worry about. Welcome to Birthful, Mighty Parent or Parent-to-Be. I'm Adriana Lozada, and you're listening to another episode in our series on models and places of birth. For today's episode, I'm going to be speaking with Jenny Murphy about her birth story, which she describes as a dream hospital birth. Now, we all know that pregnancy and labor can ask you to stay flexible and be constantly adapting, and Jenny had to do quite a bit of that leading up to the birth of her son. Instead of getting hung up on details, though, or being frustrated by her ever-changing birth plan, Jenny focused on the broad vision she had for her birth and how she wanted to feel during the experience, and that ultimately led her to be the leader of her labor. Within the context of our Models and Places of Birth series, this story highlights an often mentioned recommendation when talking about hospital births, which is to try to stay home as long as possible so you don't get to the hospital too early. This, of course, is as long as there aren't any medical indications to the contrary. Now, before we start, you should know that Jenny gave birth during the pandemic. So when she mentions that her doula left after they arrived at the hospital, this has to do with the restrictions that were in place for birth support at that time and not necessarily a common doula practice. I also want to let you know that toward the beginning of the episode, there is a reference to stillbirth. Okay, you're listening to Birthful, here to inform your intuition. Jenny, welcome to the show. I am so happy to have you here.
Thank you so much, Adriana.
Why don't you start us off by sharing a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I'm a technical recruiter by trade. So I work professionally with startups that are mission driven and high growth to help them scale. And my husband's in construction. His name's Frank. And we live with our son, Phoenix.
So it seems like you have a mindset of being organized and ducks in a row, or am I assuming
that? I don't know. I was just thinking about this the other day. I'm not sure if I'm a type A personality or a type B, go with the flow. I think I kind of go in between both.
That sounds like a good balance. So let's take you back over a year ago when you were first pregnant and preparing for birth. What were your feelings? Where was your mindset at with that?
So when I got pregnant, it was a little unexpected. It was 2 months before I got married, actually. So I was in the middle of planning a wedding, and there was a lot of unknowns, and it kind of caught us off guard. But my husband and I have always wanted a family. We were engaged for 2 years. We've been together for almost a decade. And so it's something that we were ultimately really excited about. My birth story, kind of to back up, starts with my experience and perspective on birth and pregnancy in general. So this time last year in May, my brother and sister-in-law were expecting a baby. Her name was Aurora. She's my niece, and she was stillborn. And so my perspective starts there. It was obviously a really tough time for our family. And for me, that kind of spurred a lot of trauma, I think. A lot of fear, to be honest, and a lot of wanting to make sure that I was educated on labor and pregnancy and that I had like a solid support team behind me to feel safe, you know, getting ready to go on this journey.
Yeah. And I'm so sorry to hear about your niece. Yeah, that's got to be hard for everybody.
Yeah. Our family like went through a lot, but I think came together very closely just through clear communication and how do we get through this together with so many different mixed emotions.
You mentioned you were having a lot of fear also in terms of what would happen in your experience and your journey. What did you do to face that fear or deal with it?
Yeah, there's a lot of fear for the safety of my baby and knowing that he would be in good hands and be healthy. But what I did was I made the decision, like, I want to have a really strong support team. And so my husband and I invested in a company called Golden Oak Midwives. And they're a group of midwives and they work within the hospital, but they're like a separate entity. We heard really great things about the way that they approach pregnancy and birth, which were aligned with what we wanted and having like an empowered birth experience and having it be really high touch and hands-on. We also considered working with a doula, although we ended up not pulling the trigger until the day I was in labor, which we can get into later. And then education, like really educating myself on labor and pregnancy. It's a really big learning curve I learned. I didn't know anything about it, but I kind of became fascinated by it. And some of that fear was probably led by me like researching a lot. But I listen to a lot of podcasts. I listen to your podcast every day walking to work. I read books and really just became immersed in birth for the 9 months I was pregnant.
What are some books that were really helpful to you?
Yeah, so a book, Nurture, was really helpful to me. the author, I believe she's a doula based out of LA, Erica Chidi Cohen. And it's a guide to pregnancy and birth and really like intuition led. So I found that to be really helpful. And it also includes mindfulness practices. So like little meditations you can do based on the month you're pregnant, and a checklist that you can kind of check off each month as well. And then my partner and I read together The Birth Partner. And that is from the birth partner's perspective. And so that helped us prepare more like logistically for these are the things that you can expect in labor. I also started to read a hypnobirthing book, but I'll be honest, I got like 2 pages in and I couldn't follow along with it. I think the format of a book for breathing exercises was hard for me to, I guess, follow. And that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm. And I will link on the show notes to those books. I love all of them. I love the book Nurture, and it seems like you're already getting the mindfulness part of it through that book, that, you know, hypnobirthing, maybe you were already getting what hypnobirthing would give you to an extent from the book Nurture. And then the Birth Partner book is from Penny Simkins.
Okay, yeah.
So then you were doing your research, reading the books, listening to podcasts. Did you do any childbirth education classes?
We did. Yes, we did an in-person class that was locally based. And that we did about 3 of the classes in person. And then it switched to being online via Zoom once the COVID restrictions and shelter in place happened. It's kind of funny because in pregnancy, you talk a lot about your birth plan, right? And pretty much that's all out the window for any mom or soon-to-be mom that's pregnant. But what I would recommend and what I did is have a birth vision. Like, how do I want my birth to feel? And really cling to that, because the external circumstances will likely change, but by the time you give birth, and they definitely did for me. And so by creating a birth vision, I was able to still have that regardless of what changed. And so I would take time to think about that. Obviously, there's the birth preferences, which you may or may not be able to have, but that vision of how you want to feel and the type of experience you want to have while in labor, you can still have. And so to think about that, write it down if you can, talk about it with your birth partner and with your support team. It was alleviated a lot of the anxiety I had and helped a lot.
Mm. And I love doing that with my doula clients, of setting in first, writing out 3 words of how they want to feel. And both birthing person and their partner each have their own words, 3 words of how they want to feel. Because like you said, circumstances, you have no idea what's going to happen, but you can control. The only thing you can control, I guess, is how you're going to show up. And so tuning into those feelings is huge, huge. I love that. Now, what was the story with your doula?
Yeah. So to be honest, like Frank and I were kind of debating whether we wanted a doula or not throughout the entire pregnancy. It's something that I think we definitely wanted, but it was more a cost thing. We already invested money in having a strong support system on the midwife side, and they didn't accept insurance. So that to us was a big investment. And then finally, we found a doula that was within our budget, which was great. But we had an agreement with that doula that she would reserve 2 weeks before and after my due date. But at any point before that, she or I could back out of that agreement. And with that risk comes a better price. And so after, I think maybe right after my baby shower, she let us know that she found another client that was willing to pay more. So ultimately, like, I was at peace with it. It just didn't work out. And to be honest, I think that during some of our conversations, there wasn't a super strong connection, but what we wanted to optimize for was knowing when it was safe to go to the hospital while still staying in my home for as long as we could. But ultimately, I'm glad it didn't work out. We found someone that I had a much stronger connection with.
And you said at the beginning that that person, you found them like the day you were going into labor. I want to know more. What was that?
Yeah, so we didn't find them, but we finalized the agreement the day I was in labor. And it's a really funny story because I had gone to prenatal yoga. And my midwife, when I told her that we had our doula back out, recommended that I reach out to someone named Lenora. And I Googled her and it happened to be my yoga instructor. So I reached out to her, I want to say maybe 1 week or 2 weeks before I gave birth. And then I notified her when I went to the hospital. I had to go to triage to see if my water was leaking, and it was. And so we were in the midst of working out the agreement. I went into labor 2 weeks before I was due. And so I ended up like signing the agreement before, just a few hours before she came over to my house. But we already had a little bit of a relationship. Although I never talked to her one-on-one, I felt like I knew her from the yoga classes.
She was already a comfort to you, I'm guessing.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So tell me, how did things start?
Yeah, so things started, I think, about a week before I gave birth. I noticed that I was having a little bit of leaking, and I thought I was having some incontinence. So I would sneeze and like a little trickle of liquid would come out, or I would be walking and some would leak out. And so because I was already extra cautious, I would call my midwives every time it happened. And we thought it was incontinence because it was only a little bit of liquid. But every time they offered me to go to triage and they said, look, if you're feeling uncomfortable, go to triage. It may be just some pelvic floor weakness, but it also could be some amniotic fluid leaking. But each time I just really wanted to avoid going to the hospital. So I was kind of trying to put it off. And on April 15th, I woke up and I went to the restroom and there was some blood in my urine. So I called my midwife. I sent her a photo of it and she said, let's get you to triage as soon as possible. So I called my husband and we were on the way to the hospital at around 10 a.m. where then they did a check to see if my amniotic fluid was leaking or my membranes had ruptured, and they had. So they gave me two options, or my midwife did. She said, we really need to get things going with your labor. So we want to have you try a castor oil smoothie. If that does not work by tonight, then tomorrow morning you'll be induced. So went to the CVS, got castor oil, made like an almond banana shake with castor oil in it. And I had that, I think, around 1 p.m. And then things started really progressing.
Now, you said the midwife wanted to get things going right away. Was there some sort of, what was the reasoning behind that recommendation of getting things going as soon as possible?
I think just connecting the dots of like, because I potentially was leaking for about a week prior, I think just wanting to get labor going safely was the recommendation, because I'm not sure. So maybe you can tell me, it can be dangerous to not have contractions or go into labor if your fluid is leaking or if your membranes have been ruptured.
So the concern is infection. Usually it's chorio, that's not amnesis, but it's chorio. The shorthand for it is chorio, is a type of bacteria. And that is the risk of infection, that it can cause harm to baby. And so after 24 hours, the thought is the rate of infection increases. So ideally, they're looking to have baby born by then. But okay, as you experience yourself, you potentially can go for a week without having any signs of infection. And the biggest thing there is trying to keep, you know, nothing in the vagina, keep everything clean, wipe front to back, use clean towels, monitor your temperature. Like, those are great recommendations that you can do yourself in terms of minimizing infection and monitoring yourself. But of course, provide a recommendation and your conversation with them comes first in terms of informed choice. What the research also says is within 24 hours, I want to say, I think it's within 12 hours of water rupturing, 80% of pregnant people go into labor on their own. And I think it's between 24 hours, it's 90 something. I'll link it on the show notes. I don't remember the percentages, but pretty much everybody within 24 hours of their water rupturing pre-labor, contractions start and they go into labor. Like you experienced, though, not always the case, but it seems like you had maybe a high leak that was more of a trickle and might have been closing up.
Yeah, that's actually what they thought they mentioned too. So it was the castor oil or like being medically induced at that point, which was a little scary because I really didn't want to be medically induced.
But it seems you were saying the almond smoothie, castor oil smoothie worked really well and contractions started pretty quickly after that.
Yeah, so I took the castor oil smoothie around 1:30 p.m. And then I think I like watched a TV show. I did a little birth meditation. I took a shower, had some avocado toast and bone broth. And then at probably between 1:30 and 3, like an hour after, things started to become a little not powerful or intense, but I definitely could feel that something was happening.
Did you then reach out to midwives and doula or not quite yet?
So not quite yet. Around 3 p.m. I did. And my midwife called and checked in with me probably around 2. And I asked her, like, hey, when should I check in with our doula? And she said, check in with the doula when things are starting to feel like not that you don't have control, but they're starting to feel a little bit like, what do I do? And that was really good advice because at that point I started feeling contractions. I was kind of starting to move around our apartment and time started to be a little bit like blurry, but it wasn't really powerful and the contractions weren't happening super fast. I think they were probably like 5 to 10 minutes apart. So that advice was good because once things started to pick up, I did start to feel like, oh, what do I do? And that's when we called her. So we checked in with her around 3 p.m. when things were getting more active.
Mm-hmm. And what did you want her to come over or?
Yeah. So I don't think I talked to her. My husband, Frank, did. And he said to her, like, Jenny's, things are getting more serious, but Jenny's in the flow. And so to be honest, don't have a lot of memory of that time. But from what I remember and what he told me, that's when I was really starting to move a lot and starting to make noises. But we didn't have her come over until about 5:45. And he was kind of monitoring that and the person to say like, okay, she should come over.
Yum, delicious, tasty, super clean water. That is what we now happily drink thanks to our AquaTrue Reverse Osmosis Water Purifier. It's just so much easier for us to stay hydrated. For me, that is vital because I am prone to getting headaches, and so being well hydrated really helps with that. And if you're pregnant or nursing, being well hydrated is also vital for you because good hydration is key during this time of life. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process that removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters, and they have water purifiers to fit every type of home, from installation-free countertop purifiers to higher capacity undersink options. They even have a Wi-Fi connected purifier and mineral boost options. Also, their filters are affordable and long-lasting with just one set of filters from their classic purifier, making the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. Using AquaTrue water can even improve the taste of your coffee, tea, and anywhere else you use water to cook, like for making rice, quinoa, stocks, or soups. I truly can't say enough good things about my AquaTrue. AquaTrue also comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. Today, my listeners receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatrue.com. That's AQUATRU.com and enter code BIRTHFUL at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to aquatrue.com and use the promo code BIRTHFUL. With Mother's Day coming up fast, are you looking to get your mom, grandma, or mother figure a gift that they'll actually love? You know, something that is treasured instead of dying out or collecting dust? If so, you need to know about MyLifeInABook.com, which is a service that helps turn their life stories into a beautiful book that can be passed down. How amazing is that? And the process couldn't be easier. Basically, if they can use email, they can create their book. Every week, My Life in a Book will send them an email with a prompt question to get them started. And if they don't like the question, they can easily edit it or change it. We gave a My Life in a Book to a family member that always wants to document all family get-togethers through images. And let me tell you, the process of sending the gift was super simple, even letting us choose the date we wanted the gift to be sent. I'm so looking forward to discovering stories about her youth, her adventures, and the challenges she has overcome. And since My Life in a Book lets you add an image with each answer, she can now share the story that goes along with her many photos. Another great thing is that the answers can be edited at any time before the book is printed, in case she wants to add anything else. Check out MyLifeInABook.com and use the code BIRTHFUL at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com and use the code BIRTHFUL for 10% off today. What was cueing him in to say, okay, now it's time?
I think he was timing contractions, not super seriously, but just keeping an eye on it. And then I think him just being in tune with me and communicating with me. Like I during the birth would say he's very much an observer and observing me and my behaviors, and probably the noises, like when the noises started to get more loud, and I think grunty. I don't know how to describe them. They're kind of like very primal. So when they started to get more primal, I think I started squatting more, doing more movements and breathing heavier, moving maybe faster. Those were some signals that cued him to call her and tell her to come over.
Mm-hmm. And I love the way you're saying that the sounds were more primal, because they are. They just come kind of guttural.
Yeah, they definitely do.
So what happened next?
So around 5:45, Lenora came over, and the contractions were definitely getting more powerful. It was hard to like stay still. It was hard to lay down. I remember telling, when she came in the door, like telling her, like, I just can't catch a break. It's not that it was painful. It's that it was so powerful, and I felt super tired. Like, I just wanted to take like a minute or two nap, but then another contraction would come. So at that point, they may have been like 1 to 2 minutes apart. So I would say like from 5:45 to around 8 was definitely active labor. She came in, she had a rebozo, she had some ginger tea, which was like amazing, ginger turmeric tea. And she set up in our one bedroom apartment. We have a really small apartment, but we made it work. She set up some pillows and like a little stool. We had the rebozo around the door. And pretty much during that time, I was going from our living room to our bedroom to the bathroom. And like every time I had a contraction, I almost moved to a different room. And that really kind of, I don't know why, but it helped me kind of get in a flow and be able to handle the contractions. So we had like little stations set up almost. And so I'd hang on the rebozo a couple times. I'd be on the floor with her through a contraction, and she would walk me through breathing, remind me to breathe. She would give me a massage. We put essential oils in a couple diffusers around the apartment, lit a candle, and really just like set this space up to be really comfy and how I wanted, like what my vision was for it. And then kind of just did our thing. And my body really just knew what to do. And that's something that surprised me, but that I heard about in your podcast and through my research. Like, I think you mentioned when you become pregnant, your body doesn't think about, okay, I'm 1 month pregnant, I'm 2 months pregnant. You don't create your baby, your body does, right? And birth was very much like that for me. Like my body just knew what to do. My mind was out of the way. Mm. So that really helped me. And I didn't have to overthink or think about anything. It was just very intuitive.
Oh, and I love hearing that because you were just flowing with your physiology. I know you mentioned your husband said things are flowing. Those are words that I love because it's what you need to do. So I think your mindfulness and your meditation really helped to let you let go of the thinking. Mm-hmm. And I am in love with these stations that your doula and you created to get you into that rhythm of labor where you were going from one place to the other and moving and getting comfort. What do you think were the most helpful things that your doula was doing or your husband was doing? Like what helped you the most?
Yeah, I think that honestly, like them being there was really helpful, just knowing they were both there, but also not, I don't know how to say this better, but getting out of my way almost. Like I was leading my own labor and my doula said that herself, like giving me the space that I needed to do what I needed to do, whether that was like make a really loud grunting noise or be in the shower or be on the toilet. We have a really small bathroom and when things started to get really serious, I wanted to be alone. And so I literally closed the bathroom door and was backwards on the toilet doing contractions and just giving me the space to do that. But having them present was so helpful and just knowing if I needed support, they would be there. So when I did need support, I would come out and Lenora and Frank would both be there. But when I wanted to be alone, I could run away to the bedroom and they wouldn't, you know, follow me. And so that was really helpful. Also, what was really helpful is like offering me food. They like set up that I had tea and I had some more bone broth and making sure like I was nourished because that's definitely not something I was thinking about, but something that helped for sure. Probably in sustaining my energy. And then having Lenora there, when I did talk to her initially about the type of birth I wanted it to be a spiritual birth. And I wanted to have some spirituality in that and it to feel special. And so she really brought that element into our space. And that was really special for me and really helped me through the labor, I think. And and so she did a couple of things like calling my ancestors. So my grandma has 15 children or had 15 children and gave birth to 11 of them. And I remember talking to my mom and telling her like, if grandma could have 11 kids, I can have one, like I can do this. And so she did a little ceremony and brought in my ancestors and reminded me and told me, like, you can do this. Your ancestors are with you. And that was really special to me. Also, eye contact was really important in knowing that somebody sees what I'm going through and giving me the confidence to move forward and knowing that I'm safe.
Mm-hmm. So when did you feel like we should go to the hospital or did you feel that? Who initiated that?
I definitely felt that. I felt the urge to push. So when I think around 8 p.m., I started feeling like I needed to push and I went to the little bathroom and I remember like being on the toilet backwards And just like, I don't know why I did that. I never heard about that before, but it felt really good to be on the toilet backwards. And I just had to push. So I started like having really grunty kind of pushing noises and feeling like that. And then I got into the shower and my husband was there with me. And I started kind of having contractions that felt really intense and like pushing, like I would have to squat when I had them. The noises got a lot louder. And I asked my midwife, like, when will I know I need to go? And at that point, I think she was making a call on intuition. And she said, like, you'll know, because I don't think we were exactly timing contractions right. But shortly after that, I knew. I just kind of knew that I needed to go and that we should be on the way. So with the support of my doula, and she was in communication with my midwife as well, we were going off of kind of timing and intuition.
So how was the car? How far away were you guys? And how was the car ride? And then did things slow down when you got there?
Yeah, so the car ride was 12 minutes. Originally, the plan was for our midwife to not be in the car with us. And I asked her to come with us when we were getting ready to go.
You meant your doula, not your midwife?
Oh, sorry. Yes. And it was definitely hard. I think I probably had 3 or 4 contractions in that car ride. And it felt like we were going from, you know, the safe space of our home, being in a rhythm, to being in a completely different environment and still having those contractions. So my doula said that she kept trying to like keep me kind of in it. I think I noticed like the cars outside and that everything looked empty when we were driving on the street. And I said something to my husband and my doula kept trying to talk to me from the back of the car and keep me within my flow and within like labor land, essentially. So it was this kind of juxtaposition of my mind coming back into play a little bit in thinking versus being fully in labor. Mm-hmm. So once we got to the hospital, I was, I think, fully pushing. Like I definitely had to squat in the parking lot and do contractions. And we met with our midwife at the front. My doula did like one last contraction with me. And then I got on a wheelchair and I sat. It was one of those wheelchairs that you can actually squat on. So I was like sitting backwards on it and squatting. And they wheeled me in. They took both of our temperatures. So my husband and I's temperature. I said bye to the doula. And we were on our way and we went right to the labor room. And at that point, I heard my midwife say, like, she's fully dilated. You know, she's ready to go. So I was actually pushing and squatting like on the hospital floor. Like I wasn't on the bed. So my midwife said, Jenny, why don't you get on the bed? Things will be probably a lot more comfortable for you there and you can still squat and be backwards. So I squatted and I was backwards and my husband was looking at me and holding my hands when I was pushing. And then they put a monitor on me to monitor the baby's heart. And that was pretty much it. I didn't have any like needles in me or IVs. It was just the heart monitor and me pushing.
So at this point, did you feel you were participating in that pushing or it was just your body and baby doing it all?
Yeah, it was. I felt like I was participating at the point, I think, when I had right before the ring of fire. So my midwife started talking to me and really was just like, you're doing great. Keep doing what you're doing. And that was pretty involuntary. And then she started saying, okay, push like you're going to do a bowel movement and coaching me a little bit. And that's when I felt the participation from me really came in. And it did kind of become like this team effort. So that I was an active participant in. For sure.
And not that you weren't, you know, an active participant in all of it, because you weren't checked out. You were definitely in it.
Yeah,
but sometimes it just feels like, you know, this muscle's doing this thing and I can't stop it if I wanted to.
Yeah, totally. And it definitely was. But like her guidance and coaching on how to push was actually really helpful during that time. Yeah, she was coaching me. She told me, like, Jenny, you're going to feel the ring of fire, which I've heard about from your podcast and many others. And so that was helpful. And her telling me, like, the stages of, like, this is close and this is happening. And I remember during the last few pushes, I think I was pushing in total for about 40 minutes. I told my husband, Frank, I need peppermint oil because I really wanted to use my essential oils. And I was feeling really tired. And so they scrambled to get my peppermint oil. I think they put some on the pillow. And honestly, that really helped, like, invigorate me and felt really good. And I think I pushed a couple more times and my son was born. And they handed him to me through my legs because I was squatting backwards. And I remember just, like, picking him up and holding him and kind of being in shock and awe that at what just happened. And he was born at 10:12 p.m. So in total, I got to the hospital around 9 and he was born about an hour after.
And all of this is not that long since you took the castor oil smoothie, which is around so 1 something, right? Yeah, things really got going.
Yeah, so fast. And I really, like, had no concept of time. So it could have been 36 hours or it could have been 12 or 10. I think you kind of, like, lose that in labor, or at least I did. So
it can really be. Yeah. Time can be so fluid, such a construct when you're in labor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh. And how were those first few hours with your baby? Was he alert, aware? How was breastfeeding?
Yeah, he, I think, looked right at me. He was crying, and then he, like, immediately stopped crying. And it was really special. I was really, I had a lot of fear also just in the birthing the placenta and then having my stomach rubbed after. I forgot the name of it. But I had heard that was uncomfortable. But having him in my arms while they were doing that made things a lot better. And I had some tearing, so that was a little painful. But again, like, just having him look at me and look at my husband and just be with our family, like, made it so much easier. So it was a really special time. We did the skin on skin. We did delayed cord clamping, and everything was just, like, perfect.
Sounds lovely. So lovely. How have these four weeks been, this postpartum?
It's been a journey. I think that I prepared so much for pregnancy and I did not prepare for what comes after as much. So it's definitely, I in general, just I think having a newborn is hard. So it's been hard for sure and a huge learning curve. And on top of that, not having family support or friends or being able to have people, like, you know, like what you want to have, you want to be able to see your family and have them adore your child and have them meet them. And so we haven't had that, and that's been tough. But with that and being isolated and it being just us two, it's also been a time to, like, learn how to be still. I think that my husband and I are used to go, 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 and having a baby kind of forces you to be still. And so silver lining is that's it's teaching me that right now. And I'm trying to embrace those small moments of, like, holding my son and learning how to swaddle and learning how to get him on a sleep schedule or teaching us how to get a little more sleep. It has been nice.
I love that phrase of postpartum being a time of learning to be still. That is so well put. That is exactly, like, the best approach for postpartum, because you're discovering so many new things. Like you said, it's a steep learning curve. That's hard, but you can do hard things. It does get better. It goes up and down. And you'll find your rhythm for sure. It seems like you are already. Yeah.
Yeah.
How are you are you breastfeeding? How's that going?
I am. I'm just now starting to get the hang of it, which is great. Before, it was a big struggle, for sure. I think that my milk didn't come in for about almost a week after. And being a first-time mom, and it was hard to know if my baby was getting enough milk because I couldn't physically, like, see it come out. And so he lost some weight, like all newborns do, but our pediatrician recommended that he get on formula. And so that scared us a little bit. We put him on formula the first week, and then we made the decision to see and invest in a lactation consultant, which was really helpful. So we ended up going back to the hospital when he was just a week old to go see a lactation consultant who weighed him and kind of just gave us reassurance that my milk would come in, that I am able to breastfeed, and it's normal for a newborn to lose weight. So the first couple of weeks were hard and really time consuming. I did not realize how much time it takes to feed a baby, and that a feeding can take up to 45 minutes and you feed them every 3 hours. But now we're getting the hang of it. Things are going more smoothly. My milk is coming a lot more. I'm able to pump and give him a bottle. So my husband's with my son right now, feeding him a bottle, which is great. I'm able to produce like more milk, and things are definitely a lot better.
Yay. Love it. Yeah. So congratulations. Yeah. I'm going to link on, you just reminded me of how you think you have time, but time is so minimal when you have a newborn, how long things take. I'm going to link a video that I created called Why It's So Hard to Take a Shower When You Have a Newborn. And yes, that's a great watch for anybody who is pregnant. Please do watch the video that's linked on the show notes. Jenny, what parting words do you have for the listeners? What do you want to make sure everybody knows about having a birth?
Yeah, I think I just want any pregnant person to know that you might not have the birth that you initially thought or wanted, and things and external circumstances will change and probably already have if you are pregnant and expecting. But again, just like having a birth vision and knowing how you want to feel at your birth is still possible, and your birth will still be beautiful. And I think for me, if you want to do an unmedicated birth, you can still do that. You are powerful and your body knows what to do. So please trust it and trust your intuition. Do your research and be prepared, and then let go. And like my doula said, she said, like, be a leader in your own labor and really trust that your body will know what to do and you know what's best for you and your baby.
Mm, I love it. Yes. Let birth go and you flow and just follow it. Yeah. So good. Congratulations again. And thank you so much for sharing your story on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
That was Jenny Murphy, who lives in California and, like most of us, is in the constant process of finding balance between all her roles at work and parenthood as a spouse, a friend, and a human. You can find her on Instagram at Jenny3Bunny. That's with the number 3. And you can connect with Birthful at Birthful Podcast. In fact, if you enjoyed Jenny's story, please let us know. It would be so lovely if you would take a screenshot of this episode right now, as long as you're not driving, and post it to Instagram with your thoughts. Make sure to tag at Birthful Podcast so we can see it and amplify it. Next up in our Models and Places of Birth series, I'm going to be talking with Dr. Neil Shaw about how the hospital you choose impacts your risk of having a surgical birth. So come back and listen. You can find the in-depth show notes and transcript of this episode at birthful.com, where you can also learn more about my small birth preparation classes and download your free postpartum preparation plan. Birthful is created and produced by me, Adriana Lozada, with production assistance from Asia Plotty. Thank you for listening and for sharing Birthful. Be sure to follow us on Good Pods, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and everywhere you listen. And come back for more ways to inform your intuition.